Hello and welcome to Inside Education. My name is Sean Delaney. Coming up in today's programme, we have a busy agenda. We have news from Saturday's decision of the executive of the Association of Secondary Teachers in Ireland. We'll bring you details of a new school books publishing initiative. We hear about free college places for job seekers. And we hear about the Chartered Teacher Initiative that is run by the General Teaching Council for Scotland. But first this week, we go to the news from the ASTI, where on Saturday, the National Executive reiterated its rejection of the Croke Park Agreement. But crucially, it also voted to enter talks with the Department of Education and Skills. I spoke to the ASTI President, Jack Keane, a short time ago about the decision, and I began by asking him to tell me exactly what was decided yesterday by the Executive of the ASTI.
Our executive met yesterday in Gresham Hotel in Dublin, and it was a one motion agenda, so that motion was passed, and there were four aspects to it. The first aspect is we have agreed that without prejudice to our rejection of the Croke Park Agreement, we will engage in intensive discussions with the Department of Education and Skills over aspects of the Croke Park Agreement that we have difficulties with. Secondly, all our industrial action is suspended from September the 20th.
That's Monday week.
If there is an outcome to our discussions with the Department of Education, it will be brought back to our central executive. That's the group that met yesterday, representatives from all the branches in the country. And finally, if there is an outcome to the discussions, it will be put to a ballot of our members. So they will be the final arbiters, or if you like, they would decide their own fate.
So in terms of timing, the first thing is going to be the discussions with the department?
Department of Education, Skills, yes.
And what difference will the decision make to the day-to-day running of schools from Monday the 20th?
Again, we had directives in relation to post-responsibility. We had directives in relation to parent-teacher meetings and staff meetings. They were the main directives, I think, that we had. And sorry, school inspections and whole school evaluations. That there would be slight changes there. This week we will kind of prepare a document on how we see lifting our directives, the effect it will have, and we will be notifying all our schools during the week, and it will begin from Monday week.
And have you got any indications from the Department of Education and Skills so far that some of the issues that caused difficulties for your members in April are going to be resolved?
Sean, we've had preliminary talks really, but we haven't got down to the aspects of the Croke Park Agreement that we have difficulty with. In other words, there are four aspects that we and the department want to discuss. First of all, the department want a review and a revision of our contracts, and we have the difficulty there because we want to know what details, you know, that will encompass. So we want to go in and say exactly what do you mean by a review and a revision of our contracts. Secondly, they want an extra hour, administrative hour per week from teachers. Again, we don't know the details of that. What areas exactly do they want covered there? And then they also want to discuss redeployment and changes in our SNS scheme. They're the four aspects that we will be going in and having intensive discussions on.
Okay, and one of the things that John White told us when he spoke to us on this programme in April, he said that the extra hour that was in question would be pro rata for part-time teachers. That would seem to be pretty unworkable. Do you have any clarification on that?
It's remiss of me to say I have clarification. We literally haven't got down to any of those four areas. So, I mean, that will all have to be done in the talks with the department.
And when can post-primary teachers or members of the STI, when can they expect to be re-balloted on this?
There's not a time frame set, but we are keen that, you know, if there is going to be an outcome to discussions, by the way, if there is no outcome to the discussions, I suppose we will just walk away. But we are optimistic and hope there will be an outcome to the discussions. Again, kind of timescale, we're October, maybe we're hoping at least by November we would be re-balloting our members on the Croke Park Agreement. We will ballot our members on the outcome of these discussions, hopefully, Sean, in November.
And your single biggest priority, say, over and above what happened in the Croke Park Agreement, would be what? Would it be the contract? Would it be the redeployment? Would it be something else?
Again, details, actually, before ever Croke Park issue or the Croke Park agreement arose, the redeployment scheme is, I suppose, it could be in our interest as well as everybody's interest. So that's nearly ready to go. So we haven't huge difficulties there. Now, we haven't huge difficulties, but, you know, the difficulties may arise. The supervision and substitution scheme, I think, is solvable. Our big area is this, you know, the review and the revision of our contracts is what we have a huge difficulty with. As I say, we want to know exactly what details they are considering. And the 1 hour administrative work, we want to know what details, you know, what that means as well. Because why we rejected the Croke Park deal, Sean, was, you know, a review and revision of contracts could mean anything. It's so vague. The language is so imprecise. And without, you know, I know it's a cliche, but we would be buying a pig in a poke. So we're going in, and we want the department to tell us exactly what do you mean by reviewing our contracts.
And would it be acceptable, do you think, to the ASTI if there was to be a different contract, say, for newly appointed secondary teachers compared to currently serving teachers? Would that be acceptable?
Now, again, I'm not avoiding the question, but we haven't really got down to discussions, but my initial response to that would be, I don't think that would be acceptable, you know, that we would, you know, new teachers and the teachers that are in service at present, I don't think we would agree to, you know, having a different contracts for existing teachers and new entrants. I don't think we would agree to that. But now we haven't got to discuss anything like that, Sean.
And finally, Jack, the TUI, they're going to meet on this later in the month. Could there be a situation in the meantime where both unions operate, say, in a particular post-primary school and where the ASTI has suspended its industrial action and it's still ongoing by the TUI?
Again, I don't see. I think, as far as I know, now I can't speak for the TUI, but as far as I know, they have a special congress. I think the 25th of September.
I think that's right. Yeah.
I think that's correct. 25th of September.
Yeah.
So I think in dual union schools, I mean, the sensible thing surely would be that, you know, nothing would happen until after the 25th when the TUI have made their decision. That would be my view on what should happen.
And that was Jack Keane, who is president of the ASTI. On last week's programme, we told you about the Kerry publishing firm that is planning to launch a series of low-cost textbooks over the next year. The books are being marketed on the website educate.ie, which is run by Walsh Colour Printing, based in Castle Island. Peter Malone is the editorial manager of educate.ie, and he explained to Barry Hennessy that for this school year, the firm is focusing on sales of its first series of cut-price exam papers.
Educate.ie was started here in County Kerry by Pat Walsh and her husband Tony, whose own background is as the principals behind Walsh Colour Print, a major print company in trade publishing. And they thought that a good platform to develop educational textbooks, being, I think, very conscious of the demand for low-cost books, because, of course, equipping a child to go to school these days cost a considerable amount of money for parents. So with a printing firm at their backs, if you like, they embarked on this and started this year by publishing books of past examination papers across all the subjects in the second level curriculum. And next year then hopefully going into textbooks proper and educational publishing in its full sense.
Obviously, the cost of educational materials it's a major issue, and it's an issue that certainly in the times we're in has been discussed at length again recently. Just how is it possible to undercut the major publishers such as Follands and Edco and all of the rest of them?
Well, I think that there are several issues in play. We would, as a new company, have less overheads than the long-established majors, and that's an issue. There's then the fact that the publishing arm here, educate.ie, is linked to a print firm, and there's, I suppose, economies or some kind of synergy there. And then another element for sure is that the principals behind this are very happy to take a tight margin on the product, in the belief that if it is well supported by the public, and it seems to be, that in the long term you mightn't make an awful lot out of any unit that you sell, but you'll sell a lot of units. And that's the aim of the business, as a business.
there will, of course, be a conventional wisdom out there which says that if you're doing things at lower cost, something in terms of the quality is going to have to give. I mean, looking, for example, at the authors, are they going to be remunerated in a way that they would be if they were working for one of the major publishers?
Oh, yes, we're just taking the industry standard as the norm. And in terms of the quality then, well, our past examination papers have been very much appreciated by schools and booksellers and the trade generally, first of all, for their quality, because their print and production quality is, I'm biased obviously, but you can check this for yourself, it is the best out there. And editorially, we have tried to add something to the routine of past examination paper books by adding extensive guidelines breaking down the exam and the marking system and the approach to exams that students might take as an aid to the teacher and the class for revision purposes and what have you.
Sure, but getting back to the textbooks, what you're saying to me is that in terms of the authors of the books, they will be paid at the more or less the same rate that they would be if they were writing for one of the established major publishers, is that it?
They're being paid actually. We've taken the Association of Educational Publishers of Ireland with the standard and the norm that's set out there, we've just followed it.
Now, obviously, in terms of the major textbooks that have been, you know, from the aforementioned major publishers, there tends to be an army of people, certainly in some subject areas in the background, revisers, editors, advisors, and all the rest of them. I mean, are all of the same processes going to be coming into play in terms of the books that you'll be publishing?
Oh, we will, of course, yes. The people behind this in terms of education, the educational content are, in fact, particularly two past principals of schools, and all the people involved to date in terms of contributing introductions to educate.ie's past examination paper books and the creation of new textbooks, they're all teachers, they're all experienced people in the world of education, and then their contribution, their text, their images, their ideas go through the whole editorial process, which is as I'm in publishing for over 20 years, so, you know, we just apply the standards of the trade and are very happy so far with what we're producing.
And the commitment basically is that no individual textbook will cost more than €12, is that it?
Well, books vary. Books are individual items, and you will have short-run books and long-run books. You'll have books of large extent, you'll have illustrated books, so I wouldn't fasten myself down by putting a price just like that on it. I'd say more that the aim is to, we have so far halved the price of the books available on the market in this books of past examination papers market, and we would be aiming to do the same in terms of textbooks. Certainly the ones we're producing in the start of the year next year will be coming in at around €12.
Well, Peter Malone, what we're hoping to do, if it's okay with you, is to, closer to the time, obviously, is to take some of the books as they're released and maybe to road test them with some experienced teachers and see how the practitioners in the classroom feel that they are comparing to the market leaders, perhaps, in some of those subject areas.
That would be good, yeah. I mean, it would be great to keep in touch with something like this.
Very good. Peter Malone of educate.ie, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
And that was Peter Malone in conversation with Inside Education's Barry Hennessy. You are indeed listening to Inside Education on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Podcasts of previous programmes can be downloaded from iTunes or from our website, which is www.insideed.com. You can contact the programme on 086-8962-665. That number again for texts, for your comments and suggestions is 086-8962-665. For many years, schools have had a dilemma that differs from other workplaces, and that is how to reward excellent classroom performers. Very often, excellent teachers are rewarded by being promoted to principal, where they teach less, if at all. Such teachers may or may not be good administrators, but it seems a pity that the only route for recognising excellent teachers is to reduce the amount of teaching they do. In Scotland, the General Teaching Council has other opportunities for recognising excellent teachers. They can receive certificates of professional recognition or they can apply to become chartered. Tony Finn, who is the CEO of the General Teaching Council for Scotland, and who you heard on this programme last week, told me what a chartered teacher is and how one can become a chartered teacher.
A chartered teacher is something which we established in Scotland in 2002. And so we have 8 years' experience of promoting quality of teachers who wish to remain in the classroom and share their skills with pupils. Many of us as teachers were encouraged for, career development reasons or financial reasons to seek promotion using the management route. And the same applies in Ireland as well. And what we wanted to do in Scotland was to try to keep some of our best teachers in the classroom. So what we have done is we've set out a scheme which allows them to gain more enhanced knowledge and understanding of their pedagogic skills. So they achieve a master's level qualification in which they develop their own understanding of what it is that makes a good teacher. They undertake projects in schools to show that they have applied this in practice, and they are finally, after a pretty rigorous examination or assessment system, they are granted the status of a chartered teacher, and they get in return for that an enhanced salary. So it's quite a significant programme, and it's quite a significant achievement.
Okay, and is the salary enhancement significant?
Yes, it is. Okay. It's graded depending. They have to achieve certain levels of the process and of the qualification before they get any increase in salary. But when they've completed the whole of the process, it's of the equivalent of £8,000.
And that process would take about how long?
There are two routes, only one of which is likely to survive into the future. Initially, there was what we called an accreditation route, which took account of those who might, by other routes, before there was a chartered teacher scheme, already have done some of the tasks and activities which would have been there. And that could be accelerated through in a year or two. Most chartered teachers take 4 or 5 years to do this.
And of your 80,000 members, about how many would be chartered?
At the moment, there are 1,000 who are through the gate. Chartered teacher, and there's another 1,500 or so who are in the process. So it's beginning to creep up. It started slowly, but if you think of the fact it takes some time to get through, then it is beginning to become recognised as a significant career option in Scotland.
And you also have a scheme to recognise teachers who develop enterprise among their students.
It's not, strictly speaking, a scheme who just to recognise enterprise. It's what we call a certificate of professional recognition. Now, if I explain a bit about the background, then I'll show how it applies to enterprise. It's essentially what it is it's a scheme where we wish to recognise those teachers who have worked hard, who have developed their understanding, who have developed their skills in the classroom, and who have done something which is of such significance that we believe we ought to recognise it. And one of the areas in which we have recognised quite a significant number of teachers is indeed in enterprise, but we've also recognised global education, assessment, formative assessment, aspects of curriculum development, a whole range of areas of interest to teachers. So what these teachers have done is that they have presented to us a folio that showed that they have developed these skills and understandings, they have shared them with their pupils, and there has been a demonstrable impact on the learning of their pupils in the classroom. They've also had to show us that this has had an impact on their schools, and they've shown and helped colleagues to understand what they were doing. It's had to be signed off by a senior colleague, and then when the case comes to us, this folio of evidence comes to us, if we believe that that shows that a teacher has shown significant development in their skills and in their own CPD, we give them a certificate of professional recognition. And it's increasingly popular. There are hundreds of teachers, not thousands, hundreds of teachers who have done that. But there's also a related scheme called the Certificate of Professional Registration. Now, that's where somebody who perhaps is a teacher of geography, but who at university did a significant amount of academic study of history. Now, they have to have that significant study. You can't just say, I want to be a history teacher. But somebody who has that significant amount of history study can practice in a classroom to learn history on the basis of their prior knowledge as a teacher of a related and cognate subject, in this case geography, and can add a second qualification. So through professional registration, they can become a teacher of history as well as geography. So it's part of the same broad area, and we have hundreds of teachers who have used that as well. And sometimes teachers use that to add to their qualification base a subject which isn't ordinarily available in a Scottish classroom, something like philosophy, for example, psychology, outdoor education. These are areas which teachers have used to add skills which we have then recognised, which perhaps they might not have been able to get through mainstream university study.
And in order to become a chartered teacher or to get one of these special recognition certificates, do you need to be teaching for a certain number of years?
Yeah, they're two separate issues and they're two separate rules. In order to be to get the certificate of professional recognition, you have to have done 2 years teaching post final registration, and then you have to aim to apply to show within a couple of years that you've got the certificate of professional recognition. In terms of chartered teacher, you have to be at the top of the teaching scale. Now, it's a 5-year teaching scale incremental process. So
just 5 years?
It's only 5 years in Scotland.
Okay, that's about 18 or 19 in Ireland, yeah.
So it's 5 or 6 points on the scale, so 5 years roughly to get there. So somebody who has got to the top of the scale can apply to become a chartered teacher. But you can't do it before then, because the argument is that you have to have established that you really are a good teacher in order to apply to become a chartered teacher.
And I wonder if that's something that the Teaching Council here will implement in time, but that 5-year incremental scale is quite incredible. Okay, we're on to the final item on this week's programme, is related to the National College of Ireland, which is currently offering free college places on both full-time and part-time courses. Robert Ward is the Director of Marketing at the National College of Ireland, and he's on the line to tell me more. Hello, Robert.
How are you?
Sorry, Robert, I just missed the first part there. How are you?
Hello.
Robert, can you tell us what kinds of courses are available?
Well, there are 4 courses available at the National College of Ireland. We have a certificate in business, we have a certificate in entrepreneurship, and we have 2 courses in web technologies, a certificate and a higher diploma. So they're arranged there, which if you're unemployed, essentially it means you can come and you can do these accredited courses, and no fees will apply. They're 100% funded. So it's a great opportunity for people who are unemployed, who would like to update their skills, but for whom perhaps in the past fees have been a big barrier.
So who is eligible to participate then in these free places?
Well, in terms of the funding, there are 2 questions really. In terms of the funding, anybody who's unemployed for 3 months, which would be 3 months from the date of the start of the course, and you have to provide a letter from the Department of Social Welfare to say that you've been, the date from which you've been unemployed. So that's the funding aspect. In terms of the actual eligibility in terms of the courses, the Certificate in Business Studies is really aimed at those who perhaps wouldn't have had any third level education in the past, but maybe have some work experience or something like that. So there's no formal educational, entry requirements for that course. The web technologies courses, would normally people would have a degree, but if people have relevant work experience, we can look at that as well, and they can gain admission on that basis. It's important to mention the 2 courses in web technologies, they're not for people from a technical background, so we're not necessarily expecting a class full of people with computer degrees, by no means. It's people who maybe have other experience but want to add experience and knowledge of the internet. So for those courses, you would need either a degree or to look at your work experience. But it's important to say you don't have to be coming from a computing background, which is important, you know.
So supposing, say, for example, you had somebody out there, an unemployed teacher, who has some ideas about how they could use the internet for some educational initiative. They could, provided they had been unemployed for 3 months, they could participate in that course.
Definitely, yeah, exactly. That would be really the key kind of person that we'd be looking at. Somebody who has skills in an area. Obviously, the internet and web technologies are encompassing education in a major way, but all areas of business, and anyone can benefit, I think, from having on their CV the fact that they now have a qualification in the web, in understanding how to apply the internet to any type of business or organisation. So I think if you're unemployed and you can add that skill by coming to do this course, it's a HETAC accredited course, it's going to be really beneficial to you, and you can come and you can do it. All courses are enrolling over the next week or so, and people really, you know, it's going to be and has been very popular. So we're saying to people, it's a first come, first serve basis. So people need to you know, get their skates on and get in and find out about the course and apply.
And how did the initiative come about? Who's funding this?
Well, it's a government scheme. The courses are funded under the Labour Market Activation Programme, and some people might have heard of it. And basically, they're funding a range of college courses. That scheme is funding a range of college courses at various locations for unemployed people. And the National College of Ireland, which people will probably know, is based in the IFSC. We're running the four courses that I've mentioned in the IFSC, but we're also running them at some selected locations as well around the country. So the funding is there, but we're hoping that we have up to 500 places. But as you can imagine, demand is very strong for that. And you know, we've had a good number of people applying and inquiring over the last couple of weeks since we announced it. So the message is, if you're unemployed and you're eligible, or you think you might like to do one of these courses, to come and talk to us. We have an open evening this Wednesday evening from 5 to 6:30 in the IFSC, where people can come and find out more. Or also, of course, all the details are on our own website on ncirl.ie. People can have a look there. But Wednesday evening, they can come and talk to us and get their application in.
What date is that? That's the
15th.
Wednesday, the 15th of September. And is there a minimum age requirement? Can somebody, say, straight out of school who has been unemployed for a few months, can they do one of these courses as well?
Normally, for example, for the business, the fee tax certificate in business studies, people would have to be 18. That would be the requirement. For the other courses, anyone in that situation, I think the best advice I could give them would be to come and talk to us, because, as I say, normally they would have for the web technologies courses, there would be a requirement to have a degree or significant work experience, and obviously somebody leaving school might not necessarily be able to fall into that bracket. But I would say, if you're in that bracket, come and talk to us and we'll see what's the best solution and options for you.
Okay, and just really quickly, the website again for more information, Robert?
It's ncirl.ie, or people can call 1850-221-721.
Listen, thanks very much for talking to me, Robert. All the best now.
Thanks a million.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay, that's it for this week's Inside Education. If you can listen to podcasts of previous programs on www.insideed.com or on iTunes. You can email us on insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. Thanks to all of this week's guests and to Barry Hennessy for setting up the ASTI interview and for the textbooks interview. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney signing off. Thank you for listening.